Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Praise God. Well, we're going to go ahead and start this morning with a passage of Scripture in 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 6. Praise God. I just love the songs we were singing this morning. I think as we get into the Word, we're going to also see just a certain continuity about some of the things that the Spirit of God has already been speaking to our hearts this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1. And this is the Apostle Peter just in encouraging the saints as they're going through stuff. He says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." Praise God. So, saints are going through some stuff. This is really the time of Nero. The most horrific kind of persecutions that maybe have heard about, where Christians were thrown into the arena and the lions and all that stuff. It really happened. You know, there are historical revisionists that try to revise away the persecution of the Jewish people, and revisionists that try to revise away the persecution of even Christians. You know, you hear different perspectives. It really happened. Christians were really getting persecuted in horrific ways back then. And Peter's just giving them encouragement, you know. The genuineness of your faith being found to praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. But he was saying there's something that's going to hold you steady through this stuff, realizing that there is your faith more precious than gold. It's going to be found to praise and honor and glory. You don't see him now, but you love him. You believe and you rejoice with a joy that's inexpressible and full of glory. That was Peter. Paul kind of says something similar in the face of their persecutions and trials. He puts it this way. He says, "Therefore," 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, "therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And so here we kind of see two different apostolic perspectives, if you will, of suffering, persecution, going through some stuff. And what you see here, Peter was saying, boy, if you can realize, as you're going through this stuff, you know, it's him whom you haven't seen, you're loving, you're rejoicing, you're holding on to your faith, that's precious to God. Paul saying the same thing. He's saying, for our light affliction. Now, if you read the book of 2 Corinthians, you'll see that Paul goes through a lot of stuff. In fact, if you want to see what he calls a light affliction, if you read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he bullet points all the stuff he went through. Shipwrecked, beaten, in fastings, hunger, false brethren. I mean, just an amazing list of stuff that he went through here. And he refers to it in this context as our light affliction, which is but for a moment. You know, this life is a vapor. It's a moment. It is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What did these apostles have in them that kept them steady, that kept them in persevering? They had something in their eyes. They saw past the temporal. They saw past what they could see, and they could see glory. They could see into the next realm. It's what made them bold. It's what made them strong. I mean, it's an amazing thing when you begin to glimpse. Paul said, verse 18, while we do not look at things which are seen, but we're looking at things which are not seen. Things which are seen are temporary, things which are not seen are eternal. That's why the Bible says, set your mind on things above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. You're seeing things, but you're seeing things that are not seen with these natural eyes. You're looking at things above. One of those things that are above is the glory of God. And these guys could see it. They could see, they had, and this is really where we're going this morning with the message, they had a glory perspective. They went through life seeing past the temporal into the glory. And it just made them some kind of, strong, productive, fruitful, amazing men and women of God. But they could see the glory. This is beyond hoping you go to heaven when you die. This is whom having not seen you rejoice with a joy inexpressible and full of glory. I mean, if there was ever language that is full of the assurance of your salvation, there it is. Praise God. And the Apostle Paul, man, things are seen are temporary. Our light of affliction, when he's saying our light affliction, which is but for a moment, he's talking about this natural lifespan. It's a moment. It's a vapor. It is so quick. And to have that divine glory perspective on life, that 30,000-foot view, you're so close to our problems, then you go, whoop, you go up really high. And all of a sudden, things look a little different from 30,000 feet. But there's a glory perspective that these men and women of God had that really caused them to think, talk, act, and live on a plane that is incredible. One of the things that, we realize as we go down here is that, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. So as we're looking at some of these things, we're going to look at some aspects of living for God from the glory perspective, okay? We've already kind of touched on this one, but we're going to take a look at simply what we'd call the glory of persecution. The glory of persecution. We don't kind of think of it, the glory of persecution. Now, it's not fun. I'm not saying that persecution is an enjoyable thing, all right? But when you understand persecution from the glory perspective, there is something very glorious about persecution. We got to stay with the Word. I'm telling you, especially in these last days, we got to go with the Word. You can't go with the news. You got to go with the Word.
Amen.
This is what's going to endure forever and ever and ever. This is it. And boy, here we go. Beloved, do not think it's strange. Do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he's blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Whew. Jesus said, you're in this world, you're not of this world. And here we see that there is a glory that comes with persecution. Now, it's a persecution, regarding, opposition that comes against you for the name of Jesus and for believing in Jesus. And we know all the worldly pressures and the pressures that the world puts on the church and against Jesus and the exclusivity of Jesus Christ being the only way, the truth, and the life. All those pressures and things that we experience every day in the world. But here he is saying, if you've got a scriptural perspective, rejoice. Jesus said in another place, he said, marvel not that the world hates you. Knowing that it hated me before it hated you.
Amen.
We shouldn't marvel at that. And I've had the Holy Spirit correct me. on that.
Unfair, no fair, no fair, no fair. You're being biased, sister. That's not right. How could you do that? That's not fair. You're not saying it right.
Wow. Oh my.
You know, if he told us not to marvel, yet we can be trained to marvel. We're talking about the glory perspective. You don't get the glory perspective watching the TV 6 o'clock and you get the glory perspective. These guys weren't wrapped up in their news programs when they're saying stuff like this. Yes, you're going to get flack for setting your mind on things above. The church will give you flack in some cases for setting up, and they're going to have their mind on things above too, realizing that the weapons of their warfare are not carnal, they're not natural, they're not temporal, they're powerful. Glory perspective. There's a glory perspective where you begin to see, no, this is par for the course. I'm in a world. I'm in a fall. I shouldn't be marveling, you know? We got stuff going on down here. Though the outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day. I'm looking at things not seen. Realms of glory. Here's some examples of people who lived. Examples to follow here. This is Stephen, you know, after he got done with his sermon. This was actually the apostles after they had, and it says, when they agreed with him, talking to Gamaliel, when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they beat them. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they, the apostles, they departed from the presence. In every house they did not cease teaching and preaching in Jesus as the Christ. Isn't that amazing? Last time you looked at the TV and said, praise God, hallelujah. Somebody spun us wrong, threatened by the name. We're persecuted. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Pray. They've got stripes on their back, and they're rejoicing that they were counted worthy. You know what they're doing? You know, rejoice, be exceedingly glad. For so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. They're rejoicing. In Acts chapter 7, here is Stephen. When they had listened to Stephen, he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven, saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. The Holy Spirit. Another. Did Stephen miss it? No. He's full of the Holy Spirit. Gazed into their teeth. He's seeing past the gnashing teeth. He's seeing past the temporal. He's seeing glory. I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Well, obviously, they could stop their ears and ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses come, the Apostle Paul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on, knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said, saw something. How could they be so bold? I mean, that's an amazing thing. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy of to suffer shame for his. Now, at that point, you can do one of two things with shame. You can get bitter about being, but when you do it God's way and you don't have the chip on your shoulder and you just give glory to God that you're worthy, because 6 o'clock news, you see the big picture. You see the whole scope. Praise God. I'm not marveling. This is what's supposed to happen. And I'm still coming after you, Satan. I'm still coming after the kingdom of darkness. I'm still going to preach the gospel. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Persecution doesn't dissuade me. It confirms every house they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. They kept their eye on the ball over shame. Praise God, they were bigger than that. They saw past the taking to souls that were going to be saved. They didn't get distracted as a church, running in circles, feeling sorry for themselves. They kept their eye on the ball. Glory perspective you've got to have, though. You got to see past this. Stephen, he saw the big picture. He saw the heavens open. Now, of course, the Apostle Paul was the fellow who was right there consenting to Stephen's similar matter, gets that same glory focus that he saw in Stephen. And this is really at the end of his third missionary journey. He's getting ready to go to Jerusalem. And nobody wants him to go there because they know that they're Jewish Christians even in Jerusalem. Don't understand Paul, and especially the Jews don't want anything to do with him because he's kind of the turncoat. They sent him out there to pull off a liked guy. And so he says, see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things which tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, that I might finish to the gospel of the grace of God. Paul is seeing something past these tribulations. When you handle persecution right, you're not afraid of it anymore. If you're unfair, reacting, it's not guiding my life. I am going to go where the Spirit of God tells me to go. He's sent to lead me. Bring him on. Like the old song says, hit me with your best shot. That's my Lord. Your grace is sufficient for me. I'm not going to get spooked by persecution. You would think by the enemy. But when it's not on there and you love and you forgive and you just keep going and praising God, Satan doesn't think of these. He said, persecutions, trip chains, none of these things move me. In other words, he's not led by those things. I don't count my life dear to myself. Now, one thing you got to remember about the Apostle Paul, he did get caught up to the third heaven down here. There's some knowledge that we don't have simply because it's not legally permitted. Paul saw, but Paul came back down. He saw glory. He saw the end. None of these things move me. I don't count my life dear to myself. Are you going to kill me? Go. I'm coming after you. You're going to kill me in Jerusalem? I'm coming for Jerusalem with the gospel. It's not testosterone. It's not muscles. It's not intellectual. A revelation of glory. In fact, one of the things the Apostle Paul prayed that the Ephesians would have is a revelation, a spirit of wisdom and revelation in three things. The hope of their calling, the exceeding greatness of his power that works toward them as believers. We talked about that last few weeks. Of the glory of the riches of his inheritance in the saints. He said, I wish you'd get a revelation of glory. You get a revelation of where all this is going to. It'll put that glow in your eyes. It'll put a stem, motivate us from the Word of God. We spend a lot of time in the Word of God motivating people with the love of God. God, motivating factor there is that God loves you. No one can pluck you from his hand. But I'm telling you, there's another motivating factor. And that is a revelation of the glory. As you see past the things that are seen, and you look at things not self, so to speak, realizing where all this is going. And that's what Paul said. He said, for our light weight of eternal glory. He was on purpose getting out, realizing this is good. That divine, he had that divine perspective. Not only the glory of persecution, but something else I'm calling the glory of fruitfulness. All right? You know, again, this glory, let me back up just a second. The glory of persecution, in other words, you got to know on the inside that when you are sharing the gospel, you're shining, you're doing what God has called you to do, that there is tremendous, okay? He really is. Now, you know, I'll keep going. I'm going to get back to it. We'll tie it into fruitfulness here. The glory, you may bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Amplified, when you bear, produce much fruit, it helps to be true followers of mine. This is great. In other words, when we're doing what God has called us to do, the fruit perspective. But you know, I've found out that I can only get so motivated for. There's a whole other great motivating factor, the glory perspective. In other words, when I'm doing what God has called me to do, it brings honor to God. We looked at Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ, walk in them. That's the fruit that he's talking about here. There it is. We are in his very, as we walk in that out, we're bringing glory to him. Now, begin to walk in the things that God has shown you to walk in, you find that there is, first point, yeah, I'm going through things, I'm being persecuted, but praise God by faith, I give glory to God. We go through another process as we're endeavoring to bring glory to God. 2 Timothy, but the solid foundation of God stands having the seal. The Lord knows who are those who are his. Let everyone who names the name of Christ, wood, clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself and useful for the master, prepared. There are good works he's ordained you to walk in, and there's stuff that we can do every day, good works and just being gracious. There's stuff that the Lord wants you to do, but that there's something that's going to happen to you before himself from the ladder. Well, what's the ladder? That's the wood, the clay, you know, the dishonored, that's sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. So you can see here, there's a Jesus. They're in there. But some of those works are going to come out as your purse. Use me. And 17 and a half years later, when I was 35, for other good works. And here's a dynamic that I want to talk about for a little bit, because when sanctification, it means getting free from things that are encumbering you. A few scriptures, and then we'll trail back. Peter puts it this way. Therefore, I mean, sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. We flesh junk. But you'll see something here where he starts out saying, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, in like manner as us, and yet he suffered in the flesh, yet he came through to walk in. That's really doing the will of God, what it's about. But we all realize, oh, I got this flesh stuff. And you're suffering in the flesh. There is a cleansing yourself from the latter that is on you. Only you can take your thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Only you
can offer you. From the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Sin has an ensnaring effect, keeping us back, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Talking about this,
all these scriptures right here, these scriptures that we're talking about, right?
We know up front, God wants us to be fruitful. We know that we're his workmanship and but we also know there's more things that God wants us to walk in. And a lot of times, the walking in the Spirit is really setting ourselves up to be useful for the Master, prepared for every good work. Peter says, you know, suffering in the flesh, that's normal. You're going to experience a suffering in the flesh. Doesn't mean you missed it. To do the will of God, laying aside the weights and the sins that so easily beset us, ensnares us, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, this is all stuff you've heard, right? Consecration, 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 different things like that. And I know that as I walk in the Spirit, I won't fulfill, so that I'm prepared and I'm useful for the Master. Now, just praise God. When maybe you remember being used of God in a certain level, in a certain plane, glory and thing, you're touching people and praise God, hallelujah, glory to God. That's amazing. It's all the sins that so easily ensnare us is so that we can run the race. Holy as he is holy, so I can be holier than thou. I want to be holy so that I can run the race that is set before me. You know, in this case, I want to, that's my motivation. In Timothy, I want to be that vessel unto honor.
Now, this is where I just want to reference between righteousness and sanctification. Righteousness is the finished work of Christ. You can't get any more. Who knew no sin became sin. He gave you, imparted his righteousness and gave you the gift of righteousness. That's as righteous as you're going to. You're not going to get any more righteous. You're going to get free from the flesh to do the will of God, but you're not going to get any more righteous. So it's not a struggle to become more righteous. All right? But there is a work of sanctification. And in that,
you know, I just want to give some basic scriptures. We see here Paul talking to Timothy, you know, you get clear saying, if you'll allow yourself to go through that suffering of the flesh, you will be there to do the will of God. Then we can run with patience that race that is set before us. Okay, that's all consecration scriptures. Perspectives of the Word of God that we see, man, we walk in the Spirit. I'm not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm looking unto Jesus. That's active.
You got to realize that as you are overcoming the weights and the sin, and say, you know what? I'm not just
so that I can run the race. I'm getting free from this thing so that I can do the will of God. I'm getting free from this thing so that I'm going to be prepared.
Fruitfulness. In other words, I'm seeing past the suffering of the flesh. In the same way I look past this, I'm going to be there through the gospel. I'm going to see past the suffering of my own flesh, and I'm going to see that you bear much fruit. You got to see, you got to understand, it's a glorious thing. You know, even when you see two teams that are playing, the team that has home field advantage will weight a team with more probability of winning simply because they're playing at home. Yet just because they're the home field, they get an advantage that's weighted for them. Down here, again, you got to realize, if you haven't realized it by now, we are not the home team down here. Our citizenship is in heaven, right? Now there's coming a day when it's called Satan, the god of this world. If you're wondering who the god of this world is, just turn on your TV. It's just all over. The prince of the power of the air, of the airway. And he cast devils, you know, out of that madman of Gadara. He said, have you come to torment us before the time? You have a right to be here. And we are playing an away game. Peter's dealing with, man, we spent enough of our past lifetime doing the things of the will of the Gentile, all that stuff. In reasoning. You know, you could stop, if you wanted to, you could stop them speaking evil of you. Don't wrestle with them. They're going to speak to you. This isn't home. And a really good road team, they don't need knows that their fans are cheering for them at home in their living rooms. Praise God. In fact, sometimes you'll see a good road team, a guy will score a touchdown, he'll come through, and then he'll go like this. What is he saying? Quiet the crowd. Crowd doesn't get excited. A good road team isn't playing for applause. It isn't playing for cheers. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And you go, by so great. Since you got people cheering for you at home. There have been times when you have witnessed to people that hated you for it. And in heaven, the crowd's going wild. You know God. You understand? We're called to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, God's willing to preach the gospel. It's the Holy Spirit's job to draw them. It's their job to call upon the name of the Lord. God is glorified when you obey and you do what he says. And you know what? You're rewarded according to what he's called you to do. But when you begin to play these games and you begin, we're in this world, but we're not of this world, and you feel the worldly pressure, not going there. Lord, I'm going to forgive, even as you and Christ have forgiven me. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to pray. I'm going to go against the grain. I'm going to do what you call me to do. This is fruitfulness. It's the one who set this whole thing up this way, that we walk by faith, not by sight, that we can't be seen in the natural eyes. It's all by faith. He puts his... And he sees a child. And he sees somebody attack one of his children. They should be angry at God. They should be wanting to destroy that person. All these things. He says, no. Lord, I forgive even as you have forgiven. Lord, I lift my hands in prayer. Works. Lord, I humble myself under your mighty hand. Help me. Give me grace to help. That brings, you're validating his plan. You're validating the whole walk of faith. I mean, if you could see what you're doing from a heavenly self for every good work, and this is a distraction. It's not about going to heaven when I die. I'm going to heaven. When I'm bound with sin, I'm just not useful for the master. Have you noticed that? And how do you get off those merry-go-rounds? How do you really, I mean, what's our, people look up and go, wow, God, wow. I mean, a person looks up, it goes against the great glory perspective that we have. Praise God. What I'm doing, I'm laying aside the different way of looking at things. And again, kind of like the, you know, that football example. You got to read quiet. Dead. No. Now, when you make a mistake down here, the crowd goes wild. We got to get a different mindset. We got to look at things and realize, hey, this is very of his presence. There's a glory of persecution. There's a glory of persecution. Nor of me his prisoner. Not being ashamed of the gospel. Not being ashamed of what I hear the Father say, I do what I see the Father do. Sometimes you get in trouble, sometimes you don't. Of lives being set free and saved. Also, seeing the glory of fruitfulness. I want to bear fruit for your glory. Lord, I want to do what you call me to do. There is no all truth, and he will order those steps. Praise God. And there is nothing quite so good. And I have nothing to give them because I'm hurting and I'm bound. To make a difference. I mean, you're seeing other people, the ability to help other people. Glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We kind of talked about this a little bit before. We get to using one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatever you do in words, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things, have a glory perspective. But something that I can also do is I can get in the presence of God and wear the Spirit of the Lord's finger for right now. Can I just have this finger? Can we just not go and find grace to help? You know, you just can't get free from this stuff on your own. You need help. Much. It's not too much. I can do this, Father. You've given me everything that I need to do. You get a vision today and forever, not even a shadow of ever, but he's getting magnified in me. And you come in and you begin continually. In fact, that word, that the Greek word where it's praise God, that it's there. That's a great blessing that we have. This, I just love what kind of Paul, I consider the sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. Glory just changes the perspective of everything. When you talk about consecration, people can kind of get glory. The glory of God. The glory of God. And to slowly take my grip off things to where I'm letting it go. I can't do closing doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. I love that, lifting up. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord. Praise God. There's a glory perspective that we have as we're going through life, as we're going. But I'm telling you what, and there's, like I said, there's a lot of different motivating factors. We preach a lot on the love. Separate, there's nothing that can separate you from my love for you either. Same. All the politics of feelings and all that, you just begin to say, I'm here to do the will of God. You're not going to hurt his feelings. He's past that. I know this is grown-up stuff. I think, go for God again. Go again. Go again. Go again. Every, all that real estate of mental thought and anxiety gets freed up. You see things about people. You begin to see how to pray. You begin to, whoo, you're useful for the master. Wouldn't fruit, I really shouldn't do that. But no, it's stealing. It's stealing from the good, glorify God in this body and in this spirit, which are God's. I'm his. With the threat of it. There's no threat of hell here. You understand? There's no threat of not going to hell. This has nothing. It has to do with seeing past the things that are and seeing, looking at those things that are not seen. They grew up into a place spiritually. They could see past the persecution. They knew they were visiting. to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together in these last days, especially as you see the day approaching. We need these half times before we go back out on the field again. You know what I'm saying? It's important that we've got each other motivation. Because once your spirit leaves your body, all these games and theology, it's done. You know, the things that you did on the earth, they matter. They matter. They bring glory to God. God look amazing. That's what Jesus said. They'll see your good works. They won't say, wow, you're amazing. They'll glorify them. Yeah, it's God. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of it. That there would just be a fresh glory perspective in why we're doing what we're doing. That we just see the bigger picture. I pray for that. Maybe it's just the spirit of the wisdom and revelation and the knowledge. Lord, help us to see past the temporal. To see past the persecuted. That none of our persecutors be lost. But that your will, that we love like you love. That as the elect of Godness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. So you also must do. Oh, that we'd be imitators of God. And walk. Help us to pass through persecution with your love and your grace. Anger of persecution as we look not on the things that are seers, but we hear the rejoicing of the third heaven. We hear the rejoicing of the great cloud of witnesses. Oh, Father God, help us to not be afraid to be the visiting team. Help us to not marvel when the world hates us. Help us to not think it strange. Help us to not feel sorry for ourselves, but to grow up and realize you put your very spirit in our hearts, that your word is true. Praise God. And we can truly overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That there is nothing that has to keep us down. There is no thing that is greater than the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you. You've raised us up. You've made us sit together with you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all powers and principalities. That's who we are. That's where we are. Father, help us to live from that perspective, to see and know who we are in you, Father. There's glory. There's glory. Not the glory of man, not a selfish glory. It's an eternal glory of God. Oh, Father, help us. I pray for each one here. I pray, Lord, supernaturally by the Spirit of God, that you would help them to get a glimpse of their race. Faith that, man, they wouldn't in any way ever feel sorry for themselves for having to do it, but they would see the big layer of the world, the layer of the devil, and they give glory to God and say, it is written. It is written. And I will do what you've called me to do, O Lord. They would see, Lord, glory. They would see their life, glory. Forgetting those things that are behind. Reaching forward to those things which are ahead. The upward call of God that's in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you for glory in this place. The glory of the Lord risen upon each one. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.